Warning, the Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. It's simple, really. You either want to grow in virtue and holiness, or you want to be a sissy, whiny baby. If you choose to move forward, grab your whiskey glass, because the Catholic Man Show is starting right now.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass. Adam Minahan here sitting with David Niles. This is possibly the last episode here in the studio.
Yes, we may have said that last episode, but I think the more times we say it, the closer it is to being true.
Yeah, this could be it, though.
Someone comes along and snatches up this house, then
it'd be gone.
It's gonna be the last episode.
Yeah.
So we have to say it. We have to keep saying it. Because it will be true very soon.
It will be true. Yeah. Dave, it's good to be here. Like, it's good to take a minute.
It is good that we are here.
It is good that we are here together.
For such a time.
This week is
one of my favorite. A beautiful line, from the Bible. But I just think it's a funny line to say. For such a time as this. And I don't even know why I think it's so funny. From the Book of Esther.
But such a time as this.
For such a time as this. Like, you can just kind of say it anytime. Like, no matter what you're doing or what you're talking about.
Or the experience you're...
It just kind of always, it always seems to fit. Like, which I don't know. Sorry. I think it's funny.
Yeah. We'll get into the drink and then we can talk about this crazy week.
Okay. So, we are drinking... Let me get it pulled back up because I've looked up I want to make sure I say this the right way several
Balamach.
Times. Yeah. Balamach.
Yeah.
Or Balamic. Balmenic.
It's 200 year.
It's two, but they're 200 years old. They were started in 1824 in Scotland. So it's a Spey side. It's right because it's situated next to the River Spey.
Huh.
We were reading.
Is this where the Jacobites... got defeated?
It is the same, according to the Wikipedia anyway.
No kidding.
Situated in the district of Cromdale on the banks of the River Spey, the distillery stands in beneath the nearby hill of Tom Lethendry, where the Jacobites were defeated in the Battle of Cromdale in 1690.
Take that, Jacobites.
Also, what's up with that? It's on the River Spey. The distillery stands in beneath... Beneath is not capitalized. I think it's just the Scottish way of saying it, maybe. I don't know.
So it's called Zingy and Lip-Smackingly Tasty from the Single Malt Scotch Whiskey Society.
And I do have the notes here if you'd like to hear them.
I'd like to try it.
Go ahead. You try it. Okay. I'm going to try it too.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Cheers. Yeah. Because it smells delicious.
It is so good.
Okay, tell me what the nose.
Wow. So the nose wafted floral chamomile, tea, and lemon peel with various berries. Pottery straight from the kiln, perfume on a woolly jumper, and something of an apothecary's shop. The palate had black currant and cranberry juiciness. And tart, zesty lemonade,
ooh,
velvety caramel, and condensed milk, some herbal hints, and a dry finish of ginger, chili, and charred oak. Additional indulgences on the reduced nose included toast and almond croissant, peanut shells, licorice, and Ricola Swiss herbal sweets. I need to get some of those sweets. The palate now suggests berry, nuts, twigs, orange blossoms, with a touch of leather on the finish. Altogether zingy and lip-smackingly tasty. Mm. I will tell you, it is lip-smackingly tasty. Mm-hmm. So this is one of the
most
affordable bottles from the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society. So this one's $95.
Nice.
Which
it's an 8 year.
It's an 8 year Speyside.
Yeah, I like it.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
Once again, everything from the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society tends to be awesome. They should sponsor our show.
Please.
I would love for them to send us money.
Yes. Or free whiskey.
Since I'm sending them so much of mine.
So this week, you know, there's spots in your house where you have created chaos or disorder of some sort.
Yeah, it's usually the bathroom.
And you're like...
Sorry.
On a roll tonight. And it's like something that you're like, oh yeah, I'm going to get to that and fix that sometime.
Sure.
It's like, especially like when you first move in, you start doing all these things. You're like, I'll worry about that in a little bit.
There's a long list of those. So like when you buy the house, you're like, oh, but I'm going to do that and that.
I had to fix something, but I didn't have time to actually put it back together. So I'm just going to wait. Well, I did that when we first moved in here. We had a little bitty leak.
Like 10 years ago.
10 years ago. We had a little bitty leak and we could tell the sheetrock was starting to get wet. And so I was like, oh, I'm just going to cut the sheetrock out. I'm going to fix the pipe. Put the sheetrock.
Like a man.
Yeah, do great.
Gosh.
It's going to be awesome. Honey, come here and look. Watch me.
I'm going to show my wife how, like, I saved us $200.
Right.
Didn't call no plumber.
Yeah. It may have cost me $400.
Right.
But, no. So
I spent that money on my terms.
Yeah. So I fixed the leak. Never fixed the sheetrock.
Dude, sheetrock is ridiculous.
It's just so... Yeah, it is.
If it's not textured, it's easy. Like, if you, like, sometimes in a formal dining room, there'll be no texture on the wall or something. I've done a patch on drywall that had no texture, and when it was done, you just couldn't tell.
Because
you can just sand it until it's smooth, but matching texture is, it's just impossible.
Right. So since we moved in, basically, after 3 weeks, we have had a hole in our master bedroom closet. Yeah. And I was just like, hey, I don't need it. I'm not worried about that.
Right.
I'll fix that someday.
Yeah.
Someday had arrived. And so I realized.
It snuck up on you.
It snuck up on me this 10 years.
It was mugged by someday.
Yeah. And so I was like, okay, I got to get this done. So I started cutting out a little bit more sheetrock to give me room to put it back up. Because one thing about sheetrock is that I've learned is it's much easier to just cut out a little bit bigger of a piece, than the hole or whatever the,
You got to get to the studs at least.
Right.
On each.
So I am like trying to get this big piece of sheetrock up there on the ceiling by myself. It's very awkward angled, to get up there. It's in my closet, so I have closet shelves and stuff that I'm having to work around. I'm just banging the crap out of these walls, with the sheetrock, and it's just not going well. And finally get it up there, and then it doesn't fit quite right. Bring it back down, cut it a little bit more, get try to get the hole for the light, so it fits up in there.
The light fixture.
And I'm getting it up there, and as I'm getting it up there, like, I'm finally about there. This is, mind you, like, 6 hours in, because I spent 3 hours prepping everything, went to bed. My dog, overnight, took all the prep work down and just,
like plastic sheeting.
All the plastic sheets, everything that we did, like, she just, messed it up. So then I had to redo that, and then, like, I'm fidgeting with this big piece, and it's like, every time you finally get it up there and you realize, I'm a quarter of an inch off, or eighth of an inch off here. So you have to get it back down. You have to take it back outside. It's just like this whole process. And I'm finally about there. And I'm like pushing it up, and right down the middle, cracks and breaks open.
Sweet.
And I am doing my best not to lose my salvation, during this process. Cause I feel like that I'm going to curse.
Light this closet on fire. Yeah,
this is not good. And I am very frustrated. I don't get frustrated too often, like in projects or things like that. Like I'm a pretty chill guy, for that part. But I have almost at the brink lost it. And so I walk outside, and I sit down, and I have a beer in my hand, and I open it up, and I'm like, Lord, I know that I'm supposed to be giving this to you. I don't want, I am so mad right now. And as soon as I'm thinking about this, my phone buzzes, and I look at it, and it's a guy who's been to the camp out before. His name is Brian, and he had texted me randomly. He said, "Hey, bro, I just want to let you know, I've really been thinking about you, and I prayed for you tonight. I hope all is well, even if you're struggling. And I was like, I hadn't talked to the guy since, like, the camp out 4 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And out of the blue, he texted me.
Awesome.
And I was like, okay, Lord, I get it. You know, like, all right. And so I, like, I calm down. I tell him, like, dude, I can't believe you did that. Thank you so much.
Uh-huh.
That was just really great timing. And so then I call you or text you or something, and I was like, hey, man, I just need you to come over, you know, and, like, help me out.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, you'll be there tomorrow. I'm like, great. So you come over tomorrow. And, like, we started doing it. We get it up pretty quick.
Like, still wasn't easy.
It wasn't easy.
Yeah.
But we got up pretty quick.
Yeah.
And I just remember, like, I just thought, like, you know, this is something, like, I just really needed support. Like, I just needed somebody else there, which is so weird.
Holding, like, up a ceiling is difficult to do by yourself, and then...
And then still trying...
It just, admittedly, is a two-person job.
Yeah. So anyway, it was just, like, really cool to see how friends, obviously in proximity and not in proximity,
yeah,
like, came to my aid during a time that I really, like, was struggling, and how the Lord gave me that blessing. You know?
Very cool.
So it was really, really cool.
And you did finish the project.
Did finish the project. Looks great. Mm-hmm. Haley actually textured the
she did.
All the corners and stuff. Yeah, did great. Looks great.
Wow.
So
send her over to my house.
No.
All right.
We have too many things to do right now.
All right, fine. Okay, well, in a couple months, send her over to my house.
Tonight, we're going to talk about how the devil prevents us from increasing in our spiritual life.
Mm.
Be right back.
I hate that guy. Do you feel like God is calling you to go on a pilgrimage? Well, for the last 34 years, Select International Tours has been leading pilgrimages to holy sites all over the world.
And you want, when you go on pilgrimages, Dave, you want to make sure you have the best hotels, you're touring with the best guides, and every detail has been addressed.
And that's exactly what you're getting with Select International Tours. So for more information, go to their brand new website, selectinternationaltours.com. They have been a sponsor of the Catholic Man Show for a long time now. Even during the COVID pandemic, they were still sponsoring our show. A lot of other tour companies were really shutting down. These guys were consistent. So go to selectinternationaltours.com to find out more information about all the great pilgrimages they offer all over the world. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles here with Adam Minahan. We're drinking a little zingy and lip-smackingly tasty. Product of the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society, not sponsored by the show.
Yet.
Anybody knows who those guys are over there? Should give them our phone number or something. Yeah. Hook a brother up.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, this is probably like our 10th bottle we've had on the show.
Right.
I'm adding that up in my head. That's what's like a lot of money. But anyway.
I really appreciate it.
I'm going to be harvesting some wheat soon.
Oh, yeah, your winter wheat's coming.
The winter wheat.
Why are you saying it that way?
Why am I saying what? What way?
It's
dying. You know, so you got to let the wheat die.
Right.
Unless
a grain of wheat shall fall upon the ground.
Yeah, it has to die first.
Yeah.
So I'll be doing that soon. That'll be exciting. I ordered.
Did it come all the way through your pasture part, or is it still that one side?
Well, I planted wheat in the pasture as a cover crop for the cows, but they ate that up right away.
Mm-hmm.
They said, like,
I like this.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So I just did my little food plot area, which is 35 feet by 30 feet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a pretty small area.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea if this is true.
Okay.
But according to some math, it could be wrong. But all the same, it might be enough wheat, enough flour, because I'm going to turn it all into flour, to make 2 loaves of bread
every week
for a year. We'll see. According to some YouTube people, that they gave specific dimensions about how much wheat they grew, and I just multiplied that by my size.
The thing is most YouTubers don't lie, so
no, they never lie. That's the thing.
Yeah,
they never do.
You got that going
about
for
you. YouTube,
yeah,
or the internet. So we'll see. Mm-hmm. I'll let you know.
So did it come all the way, like even the?
Yeah, yeah. So there was some like some parts of that little food plot that didn't grow nearly as well, mm-hmm. and the same thing happened with the corn. I don't know what the deal is. Maybe like the soil's too sandy over there. I have no idea. I've tried to like till it up back and forth all over so that it gets mixed up really mm-hmm. well. So I don't know what the deal is, but yes, it did fruit. It's not as tall, so it doesn't have like 30 grains mm-hmm. on the whatever you call that for wheat. I don't know mm-hmm. actually the terminology for wheat, but so yes, it is. It did produce wheat berries. It's not as many as the part that grew better.
Okay,
which is not surprising,
right?
Okay, but anyway, I got a sweet sickle or mm-hmm. a scythe. Mm-hmm. Gosh, I can't remember which one is which. One is like, you know, that the Grim Reaper, that's like a big thing that you'd swing. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's a scythe.
It's a scythe.
Okay, yeah, so I have a sickle. Got it, and it's like super sharp.
Okay.
I'm really excited to use it.
Sweet.
Yeah. Hope I don't cut myself.
Oh, you're going to cut yourself.
I mean,
if history repeats itself with you and sharp things,
no,
you're gonna
that's
cut.
Not true. Look, just because one time when I was four, or five, or six. I don't remember how old we were. How old do you think we were?
8 or 9.
Okay, fine. One time when we were 8 or 9.
And it was like 3 times, but that's fine.
It wasn't. It was just one time.
With the whittling chip?
No, I lost my whittling chip for... It was once because I cut myself when you were there. Weirdly enough, on purpose. And then, like, check this out. Look how sharp it is. Like,
oh, writing it over your finger.
My thumb. It's bleeding. The other time was just because I broke some of the other rules.
Yeah, you cut a window screen.
That was a different. That wasn't it. I did that. I did cut the window screens.
You're dead. Can you imagine as a dad?
Like, I just think about if my son, because yeah. I didn't do it to just one. I did it to a couple of them. Yeah. But I still to this day remember doing this and like
how
feeling
satisfying.
The yeah, like feeling you go like in like. Sort of like click, 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 click. You know, as it was cutting the screen, it was right. Like, wow, that's awesome.
That's so good.
And I cut an X into these window screens.
Can you imagine?
You know what? Like, I don't even remember, like, getting in. Like, I know, I remember, like, sort of getting in trouble, but, like, just getting kind of yelled at. That's it.
Dude, I couldn't imagine, like, coming home from work on a hard day. Like, it's been a rough day. You walk in. Kids are screaming, you know, your wife is, you know, to the max, like, on edge, you know, because she's been dealing with the kids. You walk out to the, let me just give me a second. You walk out to the backyard, you open a beer, you look over.
X's, huge X's cut in.
On your window screen.
A big X in each of your windows. You know, I kind of have my suspicions that there may have been a debate between my parents about whether I was old enough for a pocket knife. And I kind of think my mom was on the no side and my dad is on the... So then, like, what was he going to do? Like, right. He couldn't even really get on to me because...
Dude, you shouldn't have had one.
Right. He was like, my mom's probably over there going like, see? Yeah. All right. It's my bad. You know? That's the only explanation. I haven't asked... I should ask him.
Yeah, you should definitely
see
ask
if they
him.
Remember.
Yeah.
That was delicious. But losing my whittling chip later in life was just for... wasn't because I was cutting myself. Except for the once.
Dude, being your friend, like, had paid so many, like, it was so joyful.
Still does. Still is.
Throughout our childhood. There were so many things, like, I'd be like, oh, I wonder what would happen if I did that. I don't need to know. Hey, Dave.
Hey, why don't you try this?
Yeah.
Okay. Also, yeah. What if we do it on a bike?
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay, so, hey, today we're going to talk about how the devil prevents our spiritual advancement, ending the month of May with Our Lady crushing the head of the serpent.
So, just so we're clear, you decided not to continue with
the rosary.
The rosary.
Yeah. Well,
we had said that last time.
And yeah. You know what? I was just in prayer, and
very
this
good.
Is what...
We didn't sign a contract with anybody.
Right. Hey, you want to do that? I mean, start your own podcast, you know? Like
sometimes we change our mind.
Yeah.
Just get that out of the way.
Right. So I'm pulling from, we've talked about this book before, but it's been a long time, but it's called The Spiritual Doctrine of Father Louis Lalemant. Lalemant?
Very funny last name.
It's not in print anymore, but you can, if you try to find it, you know, online, if you find it, I highly recommend getting it. It's just a wealth of knowledge. It's really, really good. All about the spiritual life. And he goes through there. So this is, I'm pulling, you know, from him and wanting to get kind of your thoughts and feedback and kind of like just talk about it, obviously. But he talks about how the devil deceives many by means of some trouble, some frustration, annoyance, scruples, or other evil dispositions, right? Mm-hmm. So he's constantly trying to fill your mind with.
Right, and it's tailor made. He will tailor make it for you. He knows mm-hmm. what your temperament is, right, and then what the things that have been what the things he's been successful with in the past for you, mm-hmm. right, and he's gonna continue to push those buttons.
That's what's interesting is Father Luis says that when the deception works, he quickly moves on to the next thing, which in my mind at first when I read that I was like, no, surely he like just keeps nitpicking at that thing, right? Mm-hmm. But that makes total sense that he moves on very quickly to the next thing because he actually doesn't want you to think that, oh, this is somewhere, this, like, I'm falling into this trap. Mm-hmm. He wants it to be very, very gradual, very, very slow.
Right.
And less, like, very conspicuous, like, very, not obvious at all.
And it's never enough just to go one step with him. He's always going to want you to take, okay, now take the next step and the next step, right? So it's for him, it's not enough that you just did it something one time. And, you know, the same principle is true also of the good angels who surround us. You know, they also want to encourage us to also keep taking one more step, because we've said this before, you know, this is a well-known thing. You're never standing still in your spiritual life.
Right. You're progressing or regressing.
Right, exactly. So there is no such thing as just like chilling. So in many ways, if you're not progressing, that means you are regressing, right? If you're not continuing that walk with the Lord, because mm-hmm. it is a journey. Mm-hmm. And if you stop, now all you're doing is creating distance between you and Christ, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're supposed to be on the journey.
Right. Yeah, so he says that the devil can use basically seven things. Now, this isn't an exhaustive list, but this is the things that he highlights, right? Okay. So he talks about how the devil can use past experiences, the news we hear, objects that strike our senses, our humor and passions, useless thoughts and reflections, vain desires and fears, or with some other movement of an unmortified passion.
Mm.
So I found these very striking. You know, obviously past experiences. This is such importance of, you know, not breaking the sixth or ninth commandment. You know, because the more that you struggle with those sins, the more the Lord, the more the devil can use that against you. Right.
Right. Yeah.
The more you fill your imagination with filth, mm-hmm. the more he can
right.
bring yes. that back to you.
Yeah. Look, for instance, looking at pornography once is not just one something you did one time. Because now you have the memory mm-hmm. of it, which they can recall those images into your intellect, mm-hmm. present them to you again. They can. It's one thing that they can do is they can use your memory against you,
right?
And
memory is a virtue, right?
Right. And we have talked about the grace of forgetfulness,
yes,
on the podcast before
through Our Lady, asking Our Lady,
right?
And the other one, like the news we hear, man, how much does he play in this, right?
Totally.
I think past generations really got caught up in the news a lot, like always wanting to know about what's going on in the world. And the more, the older that I've gotten, I've realized, like, I don't think that actually matters too much.
I don't care at all about it.
Like, I care about, like, what's going on politically and, like, around me in my community.
Yeah. My friends will tell me something's happening. That's kind of the way it works.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. eighth year of the Catholic Command Show.
The year of eternity.
We were in our 20s when we started the Catholic Command Show.
You're almost 50 now.
Well, that math doesn't add up. So.
Yeah.
You
not,
can...
not the first time on this episode I may have done bad math. Who knows?
Like we mentioned, though, that we are going to be creating a new studio here in the future. So if you could support our show, that would be very gracious, especially right now as we are in the process of doing that or starting that process.
Please.
Patreon.com/The Catholic Command Show. That would be very, very helpful.
Can you make a one-time donation?
You can, yes.
So that would, even if you don't want to, like, be a monthly thing, but you want to make a one-time donation.
That would be very helpful.
We would really, I mean, it really, we do have some larger than normal expenses coming up.
So it'd be great. You get a lot of thank you. Like, I don't know another podcast that gives as many thank you gifts as we do, especially right off the bat, because we actually lose money most of the time when patron signs up. Now, it may take us a little bit to get it shipped to you, right? That just happens, but...
But it's not because we're waiting. It's just because we're slow.
Right, yeah. So, anyway, before the break, we were talking about the ways that the devil can use different things to prevent our growth in our spiritual life. And we're talking about the news that we hear. That's one of the things.
Yes. Yeah, the news is... I mean, there's just... This is true not only of, like, secular news, but even Catholic news, okay? Even if you think, all right, well, I just keep myself to the Catholic world, you know, and I don't worry about other things. A lot of times, even the Catholic news, the current events, you know, it tends to just be scandals or, you know, oh, here's the drama of the Catholic world or, you know, of the world. And the news outlets these days have no intent or desire to keep you informed. They want to keep you. That's what they want, because that's how they make money.
Right.
Right. I am constantly reminding my clients about the news that, remember, the news, they make money by selling ads. We always have to keep that in mind, that what is their business model? They sell ads. The ads, the value that they can sell those ads for is solely dependent on how many people are watching. So they want to, like, just suck you in. They don't actually care. They're not, like, altruistic. They're not trying to provide you, like, some great service just because they want you to be a well-informed person, you know? So it's important to keep that in mind when we
approach and consume news. Like, because I think this is how he uses the news, right? He you watch the news, you lose your peace through watching the news, and that's where he can really thrive.
Right, and you, like... get riled up about it, about something that just doesn't matter, doesn't even really affect your life.
Right.
You know? The one here that sticks out to me was when he says our humor and our passions.
Screwtape letters is what came to my mind.
You know, after college, when you and I, you know, both started taking our faith more seriously, I've always been a funny guy, right? That's like, people know me as a funny guy.
Yeah, and looks aren't everything.
Looks are not everything. Right. And so... it's really hard for me in life. But I remember taking my faith serious, more, you know, like this becoming a bigger part of my life and having a moment where I realized I'm going to have to let go of a lot of the, like, what I viewed as a very important part of me. You know, this was like who I am. And I felt like I was going to have to, like, stop being me, this person that I had always been, because I realized, look, the jokes that I'm telling, they're just not good. They're not holy. They're not, they're not bringing other people to Christ. They're taking me away. You know, like the things I'm saying, some of them were very inappropriate. You know, they were objectively funny, you know, but, not good. And so I had to confront that in my life. And as it turns out, like, I didn't have to give up that part of me. This is just a great testament of what the Lord does. He doesn't, he transforms you, right? He made you that way. He made you to be this way. And I, you know, like society, my own sinful choices in life had kind of taken and twisted the gift of humor in me. And it was only like when I came back to the faith, I realized like, oh, I actually, the devil was saying, oh, if you, this is what he was telling me. If you follow him, you won't get to be funny anymore, right? You won't get to, you won't get the attention. Nobody's going to think this about you anymore, right? You know, like you're going to have to be a boring, you know, is a very, is it
like an Adam or something?
Right. Yeah. I mean, except just not handsome. So it was a, it really was a, I don't know if I don't want to say scary. That's a little bit overplaying the cards, but it was a difficult thing for me to accept. And once again, just like so many other times, like once I accepted it, it turned out to be totally fine.
Yeah.
That's the way Jesus always works. It's like, hey, this may seem scary. I know stepping out of the boat onto the water is freaky, but once you do it, it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Because I got you, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, obviously, the other one, there's two others that really stood out to me. One being, or with some other movement of an unmortified passion.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that really, you know, you stop and think, it's like, well, because that's probably something that I like, but I feel like I have under control. Like, that doesn't, like...
red flags.
Right, exactly. Yeah, red flag, red flag.
That's what you think. Because I know I have some of those.
Yeah. But it's like, oh, this one's not a problem for me.
Yeah.
But I can do, you know, I can eat snacks. That's no problem. Food's not a problem for
me. Right. Yeah, for me, it's like media consumption. You know, it's like,
yeah,
oh, I'm going to just get on YouTube because I need to watch, look something up. And then, like, next thing you know, I'm, like, sitting there scrolling through shorts, wasting my life.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, then reflect, I was like, yeah, where some of these videos, like, this isn't what I came looking for. Mm-hmm. I didn't want this, but it was presented to me. And I was like, oh, you know, and I kind of enjoy it. And you keep watching. And then, like, they tend to just get, like, worse and push the envelope a little bit more and a little bit more before you. And, like, I have, that still happens to me sometimes.
You're like,
you know,
no.
Right.
This is so frustrating. Yeah, it is frustrating. What does Screwtape say? Like, when somebody goes down into heaven, he says, I know, I realize I did not do the things that I loved, nor the things that I ought. You know, but that you just did things.
Mm-hmm. Right. Which is terrible. It's like lukewarm.
Right. It's like the worst.
Right. At least choose to do something. To me, whenever I think about myself doing that, it's like I'm just totally an animal. I have lost my humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not, I have, like, I've surrendered my free will to this passion of mine, to these YouTube videos.
Right.
I don't even know. I'm just going.
Right.
You know, like I'm no longer,
oh, dude,
longer making human choices.
I'm a slave. I am guilty of it as well.
Yeah. So
one thing, so at risk of going down a rabbit hole, but hey, it's our podcast. We can do that if we want, I guess. And it's not like we've never done that before on the Catholic Man Show. I am interested in your thoughts on fear.
You know, I have had fears. I don't have a lot of fear in my life, just because I'm so brave. But yeah, that has, I've told this story before too, but there was one time when we started the show and we were getting the radio station going where I was, you know, young in my career and I really felt like I was, I didn't feel like it. I was afraid that the Lord was going to call me to full-time ministry, ask me to quit my job. I didn't want to do that. I really like my job. I have a good job. And I was like something I was afraid to even pray about. I would kind of like feel it coming up and he was like, no, let's talk about something else. And then finally, one day in adoration, I was like, you know what, Jesus? The thing is, I'm kind of afraid about this. And I'm afraid that you're going to ask me to do this, and I don't want to. And I remember telling him, like, but I trust you, and if that's what you
what
want.
What a grace, by the way.
It was totally a grace. It was like absolutely a moment of intervention. Like this was me. I'm Peter drowning at this point, right? Mm-hmm. And like Christ is yanking me out. He gave me the grace to say these things to him,
mm-hmm.
where I said, I trust you, and if that's what you want, I'll do it. I don't want to. I want you to know I don't want to.
Right.
But I will. And I'll be pissed about it. But I'll do it. And then instantly went away. Like that moment, it was just something very clearly I realized the Lord just wanted me to surrender it to him. That fear, and it was... clearly, when I look back, the devil was using fear to try to get in the way of the Catholic radio ministry that, that you and I have, you know, been working at for so long now. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, at the beginning. And so, yes, fear absolutely can and does play a, can be a huge barrier. And sometimes it's for little things. Sometimes it's for big things. You know, like when it comes to being a witness, maybe in the workplace, mm-hmm. a lot of fear there. Mm-hmm. You know, oh, is that inappropriate? For, in, you know, was does society to say this is inappropriate for me to talk about my faith in the workplace? Is somebody going to be offended?
Do you think that fear can ever be used as a positive?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, fear. And in fact, it should be. There should be positive elements to fear. And, you know, there should be cultural consequences. And the healthier the culture, the better these consequences are, right? Like, you know, you go back many, many decades, the idea of divorce. There's a lot of fear, but you know, because, well,
shame.
Yeah, yeah. Shame. Well, and you're afraid of like what are people going to say about me? Shame. Yeah, yeah. And there were good elements to that, you know.
Yeah, I think that, you know, obviously everybody deals with fear in different ways. I find that when I have fear, I do get anxious about it. I get anxious.
Sure.
But I also have found that fear has breeds a lot of creativity for me.
Huh.
Because it's like, okay, this is a problem. How am I going to get myself out of this? How am I going to get out of this?
Yeah.
And like, it creates things that I would not think about otherwise.
Huh. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. David Niles here with Adam Minahan. We're talking about how the devil prevents our spiritual advancement.
I tell you, when we get a new studio, I would like to put in a request for new headphones.
Totes.
These are like, look, clamp your head. Anyway,
they do. I have a tiny head, yeah. And they hurt my ears.
Yeah. So anyway, like before the break, we were talking about fear. Just for like to kind of put a bow on this, is like I have found, like I said, that in times of fear, I've had to. You know, there's anxiety. I tend to up my prayer life even more.
You know what? That fear does make you pray. Nothing makes you pray like being afraid.
And then whether it's the fruit of prayer or, you know, whatever it is, it seems like I have like more creativity of ways in which to get myself out of the situation that's causing me fear, or ways to like help me move past the fear, like whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
Which is very weird, I think. But again, I think everybody handles fear in different ways. I found that mine's anxiety and creativity.
How do you handle fear? Excellently.
Yeah.
Makes me holy.
Yeah.
Also, makes me very strong.
So here's what he says. Here's what
and a little bit hungry.
And here's what Father Luis says about the devil, how the devil deals with beginners. He says, the devil deals with beginners, which the devil deals with beginners is either to prevent a good they do, or to diminish it, or to change it in some way to make it less good, which is very interesting. Like, so how he starts out is he doesn't actually make you do something bad,
mm-hmm.
but he creates a disorder. He creates a disorder of like a good that you want to do and making it a less good, or like taking a lower good and you desiring it to be a higher good.
Yeah, this is exactly what he does. In fact, I think fear is a good example. The devil and his demons will often start off by presenting small, maybe something small fears that might be rational. Okay, like, mm-hmm. This is a thing that's normal to be afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and there's no shame in being afraid of this one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And try to get you to give in to your fear to something that is reasonable to be afraid of, but simply just presenting more opportunities for you to give in to your fear.
Mm-hmm.
And then slowly move the line, constantly move the goalposts,
right.
Okay? So that in the beginning, you're not afraid of, you know, fill in the blank, right?
Right.
But over time, he has trained you because you are giving in to the promptings of the devil, right? And over time, he will. You know, it's the frog in hot water, mm-hmm. the slow, easy decline, right? Hell is the road to hell is just a very gentle, easy descent.
Yeah, which I just found. You know, again, I think this is just really great spiritual insight. Is that your initial gut reaction to, like, what does the devil do to beginners in this spiritual life? Well, you just fill them up with a bunch of sin. You know, present them with the opportunities to just, like, swing the other way hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
No, it's very gentle.
Yeah, but it's just like, no. Just get them to do a lesser good mm-hmm. at first.
Right.
That plays out so, like, it's played out my life so many times.
It can be something about, like, oh, don't kneel while you pray.
Right. Right.
Oh, pray. Oh, yeah, definitely pray. Right. Just why don't you sit down? Why don't you pray in bed? Why don't you... you should definitely pray. I want you to pray.
Yeah.
But you don't have to kneel. Christ doesn't care if you kneel while you pray.
The postures don't matter.
He's all loving. He doesn't... He loves it's you just so the gradual. Way you are. You know, sure. No, go make your coffee first. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all of these things.
Yep.
Totally.
I know, because I hear all these voices every morning, every day.
So here's what he says with those who are like more of a perfect soul, like, you know, those who are very holy. He says, to keep them in a state of disturbance, never leaving them any repose of the disturbance, and having tired and weary, that they may be
and
tired.
Having tired and wearied them.
And wearied them, he may at least turn them away, if possible, from the close application of God, fill their hearts with sadness and discouragement, and feeble, and when they're feeble, in practice of good, and leave them to relaxation and tepidity. So it goes back to, again, how do we, you know, bring somebody down? It's like, just get them comfortable, almost. Mm-hmm. You know, just wear them down.
Slowly, yeah, but this is surely. For the perfect soul. He's like really harassing them at a much higher level.
It's yeah, of course.
Right. In the beginning, yeah, it's still, just kind of slow and easy. But it's like, all right, once you're attaining more perfection, slow and easy is not going to do it. It's, mm-hmm. you know, I just got to, like, physically wear you out. You know, harass your imagination constantly just to get you to the point where it's like you can't, like, wear out, just like, just tired of fighting and fighting and fighting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, you know, he talks about how, like, ultimately he wants to cast souls into mortal sin,
mm-hmm.
right? And then when that doesn't work anymore, then what he does is he tries to get you to, you know, to commit venial sins, small little venial sins,
sure.
over and over again, which makes your soul, it disposes your soul to a point where you are more apt to commit mortal sin, which I think we can all relate to this in some way, sometime in their life, right? Is that you've been struggling with sin, you've been doing great. You know, you haven't been, I haven't struggled with sin in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, over the course of a month or 2 months or whatever, you slowly, like, there's just little parts of that sin that kind of creep back in. Not the full thing, but just, like, little parts. It's mm-hmm. like, oh, well, maybe, you know, maybe this language, this type of language, or maybe, you know, this type of movie or this type of music, whatever it is. And it, like, slowly kind of creeps back in, and then all of a sudden, one day you're like, wait, I haven't struggled with this sin in forever.
Yeah.
And, like, how did this all of a sudden creep back into my life?
Mm-hmm.
This is the time that I think you have to really kind of recollect, like, well, we should do a very thorough examination of conscience here. Mm-hmm. Like, what
and you
has
can
happened?
See, like, oh, yep, I did this. Or you get to the point where it's like, oh, I'm not going to commit this sin. But you kind of just enjoy being tempted
by it,
right? It's like, I'm not going to do it. I mean, I'm definitely not going to do it. And that even might be true. Mm-hmm. But you just like, just kind of enjoy the temptation of it. Like, that is, you are in treacherous, treacherous waters.
Yeah. And then what he does is he talks about how the devil behaves like Pharaoh. Right, so he makes every way in which you want to be good difficult, just like Pharaoh did to the Israelites. Right, okay, fine. You want to go make a sacrifice to your God? Fine, you can do that. You cannot bring your wife and children. Oh, and you cannot bring your cattle. You know, oh,
that
and
you need to sacrifice. That, you know,
yeah, it's like, oh, you okay? You can go, but you can't do anything in which you can't bring anything in which you need to do the mission.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so like,
yes, you can go a 3 days journey, but you can't take any water into the desert.
Right. So I mean, but this is his game, right? This is what he tries to do. Is like he allows you to still. And the flip side of that is. It's actually for your holiness, because what you have to do is you now have to rely on God even more.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I mean, it's true that in exorcisms, exorcists have got Satan to admit that he even knows that all the things he does ultimately work towards a person's sanctification if they cooperate with grace.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that he is the instrument of their not the instrument of their salvation, obviously Christ is the instrument of our salvation, but that he is the instrument of the sanctification of the person, right? It is his action. He is the fire by which they're being purified.
Mm-hmm.
And he even knows it and hates that.
Right.
But he still... He cannot help himself, right? He must tempt. Like, he has made his choice about who he is and what he does.
Right. Yeah. He talks about also how when you're doing some good actions, what the devil, he tries to interferes with the performance and frustrates it, either by presenting it difficult, exciting oppositions on the parts of other people, so bringing in other people to try to, like, distract you,
uh-huh.
Or creating, like, repugnances in yourself, like, there's just no way. Just can't, like, not me.
Mm-hmm.
He just creates a lot of doubt. Right, in these things, like, this is what kills the magnanimous soul. Right, we're made for greatness, and really, the heroic man as a father who takes his vocation seriously, and as a husband, as you take your vocation seriously, to go out and work for your family, and to come home and to love your wife as Christ loves the church, and to be a glimpse of the divine love to your children, and to raise them up to be holy saints. This is a heroic calling. This is something that is not to be taken lightly. It is something that we should be at the forefront of every single day when we wake up. Like, this is my calling. This is how I'm going to get to heaven. This is the path in which the Lord has seen it fit for me to get to heaven,
mm-hmm.
which is something obviously you take very seriously.
Right.
And so what does the devil do? He creates this doubt, like, oh, you can't do this.
Yeah. We forget, like, the dignity of the call we have. Like, as a father, think about the profound dignity. First of all, to share a name with God,
mm-hmm.
the Father, right? Mm-hmm. That we would be, stand in his place, okay? It's just incredible. He gives us his children, you know, like, because, like, the children that you're raising... they come from you biologically, but they're his children. And he gave his children to you to raise. Like, it's incredible. The profound dignity and we just forget that about the, like, honor that is in the calling that we live out every day.
And when we do it well,
it's mundane.
Yeah, and when we do it well, it honors our Heavenly Father.
Yes, absolutely. And there's profound grace in it.
Okay, so we're out of time on Catholic Radio. Go check us out on thecatholicmanshow.com. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
And cheers to Jesus.
So he one of the last things he talks about here is he says, like, often happens when the Holy Spirit puts some good thought into our mind, the devil steals it away, playing off a cheat upon us and suggesting in it its stead another, which, although perhaps it may not be in and of itself bad, nevertheless does us much harm, since it deprives us of the good impulse and the peace resulting from the first thought, which came from God. This is something that, like, really struck me, because I think that in this day and age we use the word discernment inappropriately.
Hmm.
And we can use that time to say, like, so this is just here's my take on this. This is not Catholic teaching. This is not what Father Luis is saying, but, like, here's my thought on this and on discernment in general, is that if you have a strong prayer life, and when I say a strong prayer life, meaning like a consistent prayer life in which you are every day in communication and in conversation with our Lord in prayer, and you're living a sacramental life,
mm-hmm.
and you're doing the you believe in the precepts of the church. That discernment is something that that should happen pretty fast, for the most part. That because listen, this is a good thing. This is something that the Lord has put before me. I'm going to act on this. It's kind of like Saint Joan of Arc, saying act and God will act.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of times what we do is we use the word discernment and we say like, oh, I'm going to go try to prudently discern this.
Mm-hmm.
And really what it is either you're either fearful, you don't want to do it. You don't think God is really calling you to that out of fear of something. Or you just don't want to, like, you think it's going to hurt. Like, it's not going to be fun.
Right. I do think that sometimes we use the word discernment when we're really talking about moral choices. And there is no discerning in moral choices.
Right, yeah.
Okay, you just need to have the gumption. You need to be man enough to be a moral person mm-hmm. and to make the choice that you know is right, right? Because sometimes it's like we're afraid. Fear comes back into it, right? Mm-hmm. And so we act like it's a discernment process when really we're just cowing, and trying to work up the courage to do it, right? Mm-hmm. Discernment can be difficult when we're discerning or trying to choose between two goods. That's when discernment, that's when discernment really comes into play. You know, when you're looking at marriage,
yeah.
One young lady versus another, maybe another option, or another direction, or maybe a different young person. It's a good thing the radio portion of the show is over. You know, so we have two goods. That can be really, really difficult to do.
Sure.
To follow the Lord's will. I honestly, though, think that a lot of times we sometimes get worked up about it a little too much. Not that we shouldn't take it seriously. That's mm-hmm. not what I'm at right. all what I'm saying. But there is at least a certain personality type out there who will just like crushingly disable themselves because they are so worried about maybe making the wrong. It's like, hey, if you do this in good faith, first of all, we're choosing between two goods here.
Right.
Okay? So the great news is there's not a wrong choice. If we're talking about like, hey, should I marry this woman or this woman? Okay? Hey. Not like you ever just get to choose like that. Okay? I get it. But, the value of both of these women they both have an infinite value in the Lord's eyes.
Of course.
Okay, so it's not like one of it has more goodness than the other. Okay, God might prefer one or the other, but if you make that choice in good faith,
it pleases the Lord,
and it pleases the Lord. He is going to bless the choice. Mm-hmm. Okay, He might have blessed one a little bit more than the other, but it's not like you're going to be. He's going to be mad at you, he's going to say like, he's going to punish you for it if you've made good. So sometimes I think people can really just, they can get arrested in that discernment process. But no, discerning is not moral choices, not discernment.
Right. I just find it interesting that, again, we've talked about this before, but the Lord wants so much to give us so much, and there's so many times where we close the door on that for one reason or another,
mm-hmm.
and that we're gonna have to for that I've done and those things that I have failed to do, we're gonna have to answer to that someday.
Sure.
And a lot of times it could be the work of the devil, of the things that you didn't do is because you recognized this is a good, this is what I've been in communion with the Lord through prayer and in the sacramental life. This is what He puts in front of me. I will go and do this because this is good. And instead of doing that, you say, I don't know, let me think about it a little bit. Let me go mm-hmm. pray on that a little bit.
Right.
Well, it's like, actually, if you have a prayer life,
hopefully you just know.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, Yeah.
This is a general broad conversation.
Yeah.
But you know, when I read this about what you read, it how it often happens with the Holy Spirit, puts some good thought into our mind and the devil steals it away, playing off as a cheat and suggesting another, to me, that just really makes me think of distraction, which happens to me all the time.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah. Which is just, I think that people have always had problems. It's always been a struggle with distraction in prayer, especially. But it's my opinion that it's gotten magnificently worse because of the digital age in which we live. Our attention, we're just not used to holding our attention on one thing for very long because there is just so many next things to move on to constantly, right? People cannot even stand in an elevator without pulling out their phones for God knows what reason. They don't know. Okay, when you get into an elevator, I feel it too, right? Like I'm just standing here for 2 seconds.
Or the grocery store.
Yeah, or like, yeah, exactly. I have nothing to do for literally, I mean, like in the elevator, sometimes it is actually 10 seconds. And it's just too much. I can't handle it. I have to do I need stimulus. Okay? And if that's the habit that we have, then it's no wonder that we're so distracted in prayer, right?
Right.
And so we really have to think about that and the habits we make. Technology is very awesome. It's very cool, but it's also like really terrible. I mean, like it can be terrible sort of in like an awe way. I mean, it is. It's like there's a lot of terror and awe when it comes to technology.
Yeah.
And so we have to wisely use it in our lives because otherwise the essential thing in our life, which is prayer, will struggle and will suffer, right? Yep.
So obviously, if you're of the temperament as well of like always worried about the devil playing a role in your life, don't allow that to happen either. Like, listen, if you fall, go to confession immediately. Have you ever thought about also... I think Alphonse Liguori talks about this, and I have not looked it up. I heard somebody say this, so I don't know.
Is it on YouTube?
I don't know. I don't even remember.
Those guys, you know, they never lie.
They never lie, yeah. But I've thought about this before, like...
For such a time as this.
that I wonder if, like, you have like a certain amount of days in this world... like in the state of mortal sin.
And then after that, God's just like, going to cast
like,
you out.
And then it's like, your time is up.
I would not put my chips in that corner.
I mean, I wouldn't either. But like, it's just...
I do think you have a certain number of days in the world, but I don't think it's like, all right, when you're born, it's like, all right, I will give you 1,000 days in mortal sin. And if you use them up, I'm checking you out. You know, yeah,
I don't think that's the way. But I think St. Alphonse Liguori talks about this, who's the moral doctor of the church.
Yeah.
But I have not done any research on it. But it is interesting to think about how, like, I don't know. Like,
it is interesting to think about.
You know, like.
I mean, by contrast, if you, and I know this doesn't completely disprove the theory, but if you never committed a mortal sin, would you live forever?
No.
Obviously not.
No.
It doesn't disprove it. Like, just say that is a theory. I'm not saying that you're saying it's a theory, but if we just said that, and certainly neither one of us can say that actually Alphonse Liguori said this is a theory, but let's just say it was a theory. The fact that you don't live forever doesn't disprove it, but
yeah,
it's not my theory.
It's not mine either, but it is an interesting thought. Anyway, in the state of mortal sin, run to confession. Just the next day, tomorrow.
Or drive the speed limit. There. Drive the speed limit there.
Hop to confession. I don't know. Whatever mode of transportation that needs to happen, get to confession.
Yeah.
Every sinner is one confession away from being a saint. And, you know, don't fret. I mean, our mother is there for us, right? She's already crushed the head of Satan.
You know, one other thing I want to bring up about the ways that the devil prevents our spiritual advancement is dejection. when you read the saints, there's a common theme that they have an attitude of when they realize they have made a fault, however small or large, they refuse to let themselves get upset at, like, worried about it. Okay? The trick is to, yes, admit and quickly seek forgiveness, and then carry on in joy.
Well, don't you see this in a natural way as well? Right? Even with your spouse, you mess up. Right? Instead of, like, trying to fight, like, saying sorry or acting like nothing is wrong, you know, just admit to her quickly, like, hey, I messed up. I'm really sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, you know, the forgiveness happens, and then you move on. Then, sure. Like, then you, like,
hopefully you can do that. Some certain spouses might be more vindictive than others, right? But sure. The Lord is not. That's right. The thing about the Lord,
right?
And so the devil really, really, really wants you. And there is a good, healthy Catholic guilt. I'm not denying that, but
yeah, I mean, I definitely think there's more shame in the, like, shame should be a bigger thing in this world.
Oh, certainly, because when you look at the world, it's pretty shameless,
right?
You know,
I think shame is a good thing.
Yes, correct.
A healthy shame is a
healthy
good
shame.
Thing.
But once you have been forgiven, if you continue to carry, you know, it's the Lord has forgiven you. You know, He talks about your sins, putting them as far as the east is from the west.
Yeah, which is a circle.
Which is a philosophical infinite. You know, it's like almost like they don't exist anymore. So this is an important attitude to have. And it's something that the saints talk about where, yes, you make a mistake. Seek repentance for your mistake. Big ones, small ones.
And then today, I begin again.
And then, because to carry on a, like, almost like, oh, I'm still carrying on like a woundedness or whatever, is in a way to deny the mercy of Christ, you know, almost as if His mercy wasn't enough for you. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's actually an affront to the love of God when we do that. And so we need to have joy in His, and just an utter trust in His mercy. That's what I love about devotion to the Divine Mercy, saying the Divine Mercy Chaplet, reading St. Faustina's diary, where you just really get a good sense of just this abandonment,
mm-hmm.
this trust in His mercy.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, like when you just even ponder it for a minute, there is a joy that you will find in your soul.
Mm-hmm.
That it's man, like the Lord is so good.
Yeah.
Because, like, man, I don't deserve this mercy, but it is just there for you all mm-hmm. the time.
Yeah, which is beautiful.
Indeed.
Anything else?
No.
I'm on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.